Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Very interesting passage before us this morning. I've entitled our message, Asleep in Church. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that we would not be asleep in church, Lord, but we'd be fully awake and alert, alive to you and to all that you want to do in and through us. Father, I pray that you would work powerfully through your people in this generation. Lord, we turn our attention now to your word and we ask, Lord, that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I've seen some amazing things happen at church services over the years. I've seen miracles at church. I've seen things that break your heart at church. I've seen funny things. I've seen crazy things. You know, several years ago, we were holding our services here on this property in a tent. Sunday mornings in the tent, and we saw all kinds of crazy things happen. I'll never forget the Sunday when I was preaching when I got attacked by wasps. And very hard to teach when you're being dive-bombed by wasps. And I'll never forget a woman in the front row stood up and said, "In the name of Jesus, be gone." And they left. It was so awesome. But the next Sunday, they were back with friends. And we discovered that they'd built a little wasp nest in my pulpit out there in the tent. So it was an adventure. You never knew what you would expect when you came to church. And I've seen lots of things like that over the years. Just interesting things that happen in a church service. But I have never seen anything that compares to what happened at a Sunday evening church service conducted by the Apostle Paul in the ancient city of Troas. Our story this morning is a story for the ages. Let's begin reading. Look at verse 7. Skip ahead to verse 7, Acts chapter 20. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together." So the local church in Troas has gathered on the first day of the week to have a church service. The first day of the week, Sunday. Back in those days, Sunday was a work day. So this was an evening service. Everybody's put in a long, hard days of work. And after work, they've all gathered together to have church that Sunday evening. Now, the local church in Troas did not have its own building. So they are meeting in a large three-story house owned by one of the members of the church. And they've all gathered in the upper room on the third story. It's a large upper room. It's packed with people. The windows are open to allow airflow in that stuffy Mediterranean heat. Torches are in position, burning. You imagine that oily smoke. Everyone there loves Jesus. They're worshiping together. They're praying together. They share a meal together in that upper room. They even participate in communion together. And they've all gathered to hear Paul the Apostle preach the word. And boy, does he preach. He probably began his message about 7 in the evening. And it says he goes on till when? Midnight. That's a long sermon. Now, why was he preaching so long? Well, That church there was an infant church. It was just getting off the ground. Paul had much to say to that infant church. And as we read in the text, he's about to leave town the very next morning. So he's trying to get all of this information into a short period of time. So he preaches a long sermon. And I'm certain that the people were thrilled to have Paul the apostle there. They're like, bro, take as much time as you need, right? So picture this scene, this evening worship service going on, Paul's preaching. And then the unthinkable happens. I cringe when I read the next verse. It says, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a dead or deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Can you just picture that scene? This young man named Eutychus, by the way, he was probably a teenager, sitting in a windowsill up there. He falls asleep during Paul's message, falls headfirst out the window, three stories to his death on the pavement below. A teenager dies at church. Imagine the scene. Imagine the chaos. Imagine the screams. Imagine people running down the stairs, out into the street, finding this young man dead. Imagine the women shrieking that intense Middle Eastern death wail. What a tragic thing. And the lesson is clear, teenager. Don't fall asleep at church. The penalty for falling asleep at church is death. No, I'm just kidding. Poor Eutychus, he couldn't help it. He just fell asleep. You know, his name Eutychus means fortunate. Not so fortunate, huh? Number one, he falls asleep at church. Number two, he dies. Number three, Luke is there to record the incident in Scripture. He'll forever be known in church history as the guy who fell asleep in church. The language here in verse 9 implies that Eutychus was fighting it. It says that he was sinking into a deep sleep. The idea is he wanted to stay awake. He was trying to stay awake. But he was just overcome with sleep. The room was hot, packed full of people who've been working all day. That young man had probably worked all day. The stuffiness of the room. He probably even at one point moved to the windowsill so that he could get fresh air to stay awake. But he just lost it. It's interesting. The Greek word for sleep there is hypnos. We get our English word hypnosis. He just hypnotically nodding his head. Fell asleep, falls to his death, desperately wanting to stay awake. Tragic. But look what happens. Look at verse 10. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. So Paul comes running down, throws himself on that dead body, laying in the street, stretches himself out upon that young man who's died, embraces that man, begins praying for that young man. God heal him. God raise him from the dead. This is reminiscent of what the mighty prophets Elijah and Elisha did in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings chapter 17, a widow's only son dies. And Elijah, if you read the story there, stretches himself out upon that dead body. Prays to God, and that young man is raised to new life. Elisha does the same thing in 2 Kings chapter 4. I've often wondered if Paul was preaching on those incidents in the upper room. Whatever the case, he comes down, throws himself upon that body, embraces, prays, cries out. And you know what? God did a miracle. That teenager was raised from the dead. God completely healed him. So you have a resurrection at a Sunday evening church service. And I am certain that Eutychus never fell asleep again in church. What a story. Look at verse 11. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till when? Daybreak. He departed, and they brought the young man in alive. And they were not a little comforted. I love that. They were greatly comforted, weren't they? This young man is healed. He's brought in. And what do? They go back and they have more church. Back in the upper room, breaking bread again. Paul begins preaching all the way till daybreak. Nobody ever forgot that worship service. What an amazing story. Now, I want to talk for a moment this morning about the dangers of being asleep in church. And I'm not talking about sleeping physically in church. You know, people do fall asleep in church. It does happen. Every preacher friend that I know has funny stories about somebody falling asleep in their service. I've had people fall asleep on me, believe it or not. Can you believe that? I've seen people do the nod. I've heard people wake up with a snort. I remember looking at one guy in the eyes, right in the eyes, and he went, his eyes rolled back. And he was out. I thought he was going, had a seizure or something. I remember a cell phone going off. And it just kept ringing and ringing and ringing. Nobody would answer the cell phone, disrupting the whole service. As it turned out, the lady's cell phone, the lady whose cell phone it was sound asleep. She didn't hear her own cell phone. It was not a proud moment for me. I heard of a preacher who told of an elder who fell asleep during his service. And when his wife nudged him during the service, he stood up and began to pronounce the benediction. People do fall asleep in church. It happens. Sometimes people are on medication that gets them drowsy. Sometimes the room's stuffy. You know, we've had people come to our Sunday morning services after working a graveyard shift on Saturday. And I think that is absolutely beautiful. They may come to church and they may be a little drowsy, they may be a little sleepy, but they're going to be at church. It happens. There have been times when I've dozed off in church, I'll admit it. Not while I'm preaching, that would be terrible. But people do fall asleep in church. That's not my main concern. My main concern is not that people fall asleep physically in church. My main concern is that there are a lot of people who are asleep spiritually in church. Listen carefully. There are people in church every Sunday who are spiritually asleep. That's really sad. There are many people who go to church regularly who have never been awakened spiritually. There are people who go to church regularly and they've never become born again. They've never received Jesus. They've never received the gospel message. They've never been saved. The lights have never been turned on. And so they go to church week after week. They listen to hymns. They listen to other people pray. They listen to the preaching and teaching of God's word. And it does nothing for them. I mean, it doesn't crack the surface. Because they haven't been awakened spiritually. For many, church is just a cultural thing, a traditional thing, something that you do every week with the family. For some, it's a way to make business connections in the community. For some, it might be an opportunity, you know, to find out or meet someone that you might want to date. There's a lot of people in church, and they've never been awake ever spiritually. A very respected pastor talks about his life before he came to Christ. Very religious life when he grew up. He said these words. He said, "I attended church, heard God's word preach, sang the great hymns, listened to others pray, but with no depth of comprehension. I was simply present where others worshiped. I was on the outside. I was not alive to spiritual things." I would ask you here this morning to search your heart. Why are you here? Why do you come to church regularly? And does it do anything for you? Or are you asleep? To become spiritually alive, you place your faith in Jesus Christ. You come to him personally and you ask him to be your Savior, and you will become born again. And I promise you, if you are genuinely born again, you will get a brand new appetite and a hunger for God's word to be with God's people. Search your heart. There are also many Christians, true born-again Christians, who come to church regularly, but they are asleep spiritually due to a backslidden condition or living a sinful lifestyle. You know, there are many Christians, for whatever reason, they know Christ, they become born again, but they start going after the things in the world. And they start thinking, well, I can do whatever I want. And they get involved in all of these sinful activities, sinful lifestyles. And so then the Christian comes to church, but he's just playing the game of a hypocrite. He's playing pretend. He might sit in church and look fully awake, nodding, but not hearing anything. The pretend game. We hear of many Christians who have not fallen out of windows, but have fallen to unimaginable depths of depravity, although they regularly attend church. Do you know how dangerous that is, Christian? Search your heart. Search your heart here this morning. Is it real for you? Are you playing the game? You know, it's so dangerous. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your witness for Christ in this community. You're hurting other people. And think about how you're hurting Christ, the one who died for you and rose again on that third day, the one who changed your life. Would you live that kind of a lifestyle? If that's you this morning, I would invite you to repent, to come back to Jesus, to ask for forgiveness, to get back on the right path. And then I think there are many Christians who have fallen asleep spiritually due to familiarity. And this may be a lot of folks. This would be the Christian who is truly born again, and they're not playing any game of hypocrisy. They're not pretending. But they've just got so familiar with church. Church, church, church. Ho hum, ho hum. Routine. Been there, done that. I've heard everything. I've sang every song. I'm a veteran. And so it's just this familiar kind of thing. Is that you? Philip Brooks said, "We can become like the man who directs the trains at the railroad station and has been selling tickets to various towns for years. Though he's never himself traveled at all, he begins to think that he has been to all the towns to which he sees other people traveling." Just the routine. Give the ticket, give the ticket. Come to church, come to church. But are you going to the places that God has for you? Or do you just watch everyone else? Search your heart. Search your heart. Is that you? You know what the answer to that slumber is? How to wake up from that kind of slumber is to fall in love with Jesus again. To never forget that the Christian faith, church, activity in the church, all the religious stuff that Christians do, it's all about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and serving him. Loving him. Knowing him better. I think of what Jesus said to the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. I don't know if you remember, but Ephesus was this awesome, wonderful local church, this busy church doing all kinds of wonderful things for God and for the people in that community. Jesus writes these words, though, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Your first love. "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works." In other words, go back to the beginning. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years, but go back to the beginning. Remember when you met Jesus. Go back to those first things. So important. Search your hearts. Let's all search our hearts this morning. Are we asleep? Now, I want to mention a couple of wonderful ways to stay awake spiritually. And this is very practical. Now, number one, first of all, we need to have our eyes on Christ always as Christians. That keeps us warm. Remember that it's all about Jesus. Scripture says keep your eyes on him, right? That relationship. But here's some real practical things that you can do to keep yourself alert and active. Number one, get busy. Work. Serve the Lord. Get after it. Be a part of a Christian ministry. I want you to notice how busy Paul is in this text. Look at verse 1 of chapter 20. Check this out. It says, after the uproar had ceased, he's in the city of Ephesus, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. Stayed 3 months, and when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Then you'll read that he goes to Asia, then to Philippi. Skip down to verse 13. Then he went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. Check this out. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day, we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day, we came to Miletus, for Paul had decided to pass Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. Here's a guy moving around. Look how busy Paul is. Look where he's out there. He goes from Ephesus to Macedonia, to Greece, back to Macedonia, to Asia, to Philip, to Troas, Asso, Mytilene, Chios, Samos, Trogyllium, Miletus. Then he wants to go to Jerusalem, and eventually he wants to go all the way to Rome. And every time he stops in every one of those cities, he'll preach all night if he has to at that local church. And most all of that, volunteer. There's a guy who's busy. Listen, when you actively begin to serve Christ, and I mean actively, practically, getting involved in a ministry in a church, a ministry, a Christian ministry here in El Paso, something, some way where you have to actually get in, you know, roll up the sleeves and do something for Christ, I promise your growth expands. Your dependence upon Jesus expands. And you know what? You wake up. You are alert. You know, there's this huge difference about maybe coming to a church service and reading how the Bible says that we're supposed to serve and help the homeless or feed the hungry. And we can all sit here and read the passages on that. Or then we can go to the Gospel Rescue Mission and actually feed the hungry. Volunteer a few hours. Get out there. Get alert. Get moving. Do something for Christ. It wakes you up. Keeps you awake. Keeps you on your toes. There's another very practical thing that you can do to stay awake spiritually, and that is to connect with God's people in a very wonderful way, to get heavily involved with one another. Look up at verse 4 again. This verse mentions a few of the people that Paul is involved with. It says, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus, and Trophimus of Asia. Seven men mentioned in that verse. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Not only is Paul everywhere, on the move, busy for Christ, but he is connected with people. So Peter, Aristarchus, Secundus, Gaius, Timothy, Tychicus, Trophimus, he'll meet Eutychus. He has disciples in Ephesus when he leaves. When he gets to Troas, he has disciples that he meets. In every city that he goes, he has disciples that he knows by name. Luke is with him. He's involved. He knows people. Not just acquaintances, I mean teammates, working. That keeps you alive. That keeps you alert. That keeps you awake. Brothers and sisters in Christ nearby who say, hey, let's go. Keep growing. Keep moving forward. And Paul had relationships with people from all walks of life. It's very interesting to me in verse 4, there's a man who's called Aristarchus. That would seem to indicate that this guy was a very wealthy, well-to-do man. We get the English word aristocrat from that name. He was probably way up there. Lots of influence. And serving with him is a man by the name of Secundus. He was a slave. A lot of times, wealthy household had slaves in those times, and the number one slave in the household was called Primus, number one. The second slave in the household was called Secundus, number two. Just a very humble slave, working with an aristocrat. Paul connected to both. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Have you connected with people? Have you connected with your brothers and sisters in Christ? And I mean really involved. Serving Christ with one another. So important. We need to be those who are spiritually awake. Amen? Christian? Are you? Romans chapter 13 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." Ephesians chapter 5, therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light." Jesus at one point told his disciples, "Work now because the night is coming when no one will be able to work any longer." We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We had better be fully awake in this community. Things are winding down, man. The night is coming. Father, I pray that we, Lord, for those that are asleep spiritually, Father, that you would wake them up. Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, it's very possible that you have never been born again, that your eyes have never been opened, your heart has never been opened to spiritual things. And maybe that's you. You've come to church all your life, but you've never had that. I want you to have that opportunity right now. Make it real today, real, genuine, right now. Jesus died for you on that cross, and he rose again that third day. And if you place your faith in him, your sins will be forgiven. You'll become born again. Do you own that? Have you accepted that? If you're not sure, I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer with me right now, just right there in the quietness of your heart. Just cry out to God and say this, Lord Jesus, wake me up. Lord Jesus, I open my heart personally to you. Be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and washing all of my sins away. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live for you. And then I'd like to pray for any Christian here this morning. And you know you're in that backslidden state. You know you're not doing right. You know you're not giving it your all. Maybe church has become way too familiar to you. I invite you to come back. Repent. Do what's right. And you pray this prayer with me, just in the quietness of your heart. Just say, Lord, I want to come back to you right now this morning. Forgive me of the decisions that I've made recently. I repent right now. I'll change my ways. I'll come back. I'll forsake that lifestyle of sin. I'll pursue you. Take me back, restore me. Use my life again like you once did. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's